8 o'clock Sunday morning, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM, flagship station of the reigning 2018 Western Conference champion, Vegas Golden Knights. We are streaming on the LV Sports Network. And if you are listening for the first time, this is Out of Line. And we are right here every Sunday morning at 8, coming to you live from the Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio in Las Vegas. I'm Brian Feldman. Directly in front of me on your radio dial is producer, Lotus Broadcasting sports personality, and Vegas Golden Knights radio locker room correspondent, Chris Magnum Chapman. You can follow us on Twitter at Out of Line 1340 AM and like the show on Facebook. That's Out of Line, OUTTALINE. If you want to watch the show, you actually can. We are on Facebook Live. Check out our pages. We try to keep the show interactive, so your opinions are welcome. Call the Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio line, 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
The What's on Tap, sponsored by the Cardinal Financial Company, the first and only choice when looking for answers about home financing. Check out CardinalFinancial.com. On Tap, UNLV men's basketball team is 2-0 for the first time in Mountain West Conference play to start a season in over a decade. And one young running rebel in particular is truly blazing. You hear from him and from Rebels' new starting point guard as of last Wednesday, Amari Hardy. Winning is a trend right now in Las Vegas. I guess it's contagious because the nightcap is all about the Vegas Golden Knights' five-game winning streak and upcoming three-game homestand starting in a couple of hours at T-Mobile Arena. Fact, this is about a baseball stadium, and Jim Gemma, media relations director of the Las Vegas Aviators, AAA affiliate of the Oakland Athletics, will be here to join us for Fact This. And tomorrow night, a college football national championship will crown a winner. I'm not going to say a new winner because these teams have played four times in the playoffs in the last 4 years, three of them for a national championship. But Yardbarker's Emily Van Buskirk, who was at the Cotton Bowl and will also be covering the championship game, will be joining to break it down with us. And she is joined by a really cool celebrity guest that went with her on Media Day for the national championship. And it's pretty cool up there in Santa Clara. You'll hear that in a little while as well. And it is wild card weekend in the NFL, as we all should know by now, unless you're asleep under a rock somewhere. Two games down and two to go. And if you will be betting on the game so far, I am perfect. My 14 parlay card is alive and well, and we'll be sharing our thoughts on who will win today's game a little later. What's on Tap comes your way thanks to our title sponsor, the Cardinal Financial Company, the first and only choice when looking for answers about home financing. Again, check out CardinalFinancial.com.
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why. This is why. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot.
Hardy almost lost it. Now throws the ball in the right corner. Tomboy of three is good, and the Rebels have a two-point lead. Joel Tomboy, whatever is past red hot on the dial, that's what Tomboy is right now.
It is blazing right off the get-go. Brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings in the 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. Two happy hours every day. They are a stone's throw from Centennial Hills Hospital. Call it a long three-pointer. And it's a great time. Honestly, two happy hours. There's no place better for wings, beer, and sports. And every year for Monday Night Football, we are up there every week giving away all kinds of stuff, wing parties, Las Vegas show tickets, occasionally replica jerseys. It's pretty cool. And we will be there live on Super Bowl Sunday doing the show. So please come down and join me. Caleb Herring will be joining me for the Super Bowl show down there. And we should have a couple of extra guests. And if things go well, you're going to have some Super Bowl rings to come out and check out as well on Super Sunday down at Buffalo Wild Wings. So please do check that out. And blazing, as you heard a Joel Tomboy three-pointer. That is Tomboy. The N is silent. All I can say is we have watched in the last seven games or so, especially the last couple games here at the Thomas and Mack Center, we have seen who UNLV's best player is. He has shown his head. 31 points for this kid yesterday. Chris, you watched the game. You were there with me last night. Joel and Tomboy is the real deal. I think I don't think right now where he's headed that there isn't a team on the Mountain West that he wouldn't start for. Maybe one, and that's Reno, but he would definitely see minutes on the floor for any team in this conference.
Yeah, and you know the funny thing is his story is kind of, you know, interesting because he was born in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, or at least he calls Kinshasa his home. I believe he was actually born somewhere else. Yeah, he was born in Belgium, but born in 98, so he's a young kid. He's only 18 years old. He's going to be 19 in October. But, you know, he's had a long road to where he's at. He's cousins with Emmanuel Mudiay, who, of course, plays for the New York Knicks. And Mudiay had a real interesting story as well because he was recruited by SMU and Larry Brown, and he was a top 15 recruit in the country, and I believe he was academically ineligible and decided to go play professional in China rather than deal with that. But he went to, and Tomboy went to a school in Kentucky. He picked UNLV over some pretty good programs, Tennessee, who's a top 5 program, Wichita State, of course, we know their history, and program that just fired their coach, UCLA. So he was highly recruited. He obviously saw something in the UNLV and Marvin Menzies, and I think we're seeing a kid who, right now, the future is very bright. And I'm not going to toot my own horn, but I will. But I've been on him pretty much from the very get-go of this season that I thought he was one of the best players on the team. I didn't think he was the best player. Now I'm starting to think maybe he is the best player on the team. And I think under Marvin Menzies' tutelage, he's only getting better. You know, coach is funny, though, because he said, you know, we focus more on how many points the other team didn't have as opposed to how many points individual guys have, basically, you know, to paraphrase. But I know he's excited for Joel Tomboy. And I think, you know, it's good. The kid played fantastic last night. What do you have, 31 and 10, I think?
31 and 10, another double-double.
But he's got an outside game, right? Like Shakur Justin was really dominant inside last year, and he had a lot of help from Brandon McCoy.
But outside of 10 feet. Or yeah.
I think Justin was like one of three on the season, shooting three.
Yeah.
I think Tomboy had two or three of them last night. So the kid, for being a big kid, I think, what is he, 6'8", 6'9"? 6'9", 210 freshman.
Yep.
You know, he has a lot of range in his game. He's very athletic. He was really the only guy who was able to do anything against that Wyoming zone in the first half. Second half, you know, UNLV clamped up the defense. They played a lot better. They were able to get a few more transition buckets. But, I mean, I'm so excited to watch this kid grow. I really am. I haven't been this excited about a UNLV player in a few years. And, you know, I just really think that he's a kid who's probably going to be here for a couple of years. But if he keeps playing like this, he may not be here for a couple of years. So you may want to get out to the Thomas and Mack and watch this kid play now because he's special. He's really something special.
You know, it's funny, Chris. It really well put. I thought the same thing. It's crazy, but UNLV might actually have an NBA player on their roster. And at the beginning of the season, if you would have told me that, I would have said, you're probably talking about Shakur Justin. And I don't think so. I think you're talking about a kid that's got a motor that is going to land him a job somewhere in Europe, but not a chance in the NBA. But I'll tell you what, Joel and Tomboy, wow, this guy really does seriously have a chance to play at the highest level. I mean, we're seeing a true freshman with just upside beyond what we thought we had here in UNLV. And because of this kid alone, Chris, he alone could amount and equate to a couple of victories that I've got to go back and reassess, because when you've got an NBA player on your roster, it changes the dynamic of your team. And I think this kid has the moldings, the makings, and definitely the athleticism to play at the next level.
Well, yeah, I think you're right. And you know, look, we need to see consistency
and better teams. I mean, come on, who's the opponent?
Yeah,
been?
but you know, I mean, he did make three last night against Wyoming. You know, he had 15 rebounds against Indiana State. I think what we want to see from him is just a little more consistency. But what we're seeing is a progression, right? As his minutes have increased, and there was a pretty dramatic jump between the Cincinnati game,
huge,
and the Illinois game, because he only played 12 minutes against Valpo. He played 16 against Cincinnati. But the Illinois game, He had, what did he have, 7 points in that one? No, that's 7 rebounds. But he played 27 minutes. He was 5 for 9 from the floor in that one. So as his minutes have increased, so has his points. And I believe he's averaging 12.5 points a game. But you saw a dramatic jump in his game and what his production was between the Cincinnati and the Illinois game. And, you know, they played Illinois tough. They beat BYU. They beat Hawaii. And you start to think, hey, you know what? This team's going to turn it around.
Then Indiana State and Bucknell.
He played well against Indiana State. He did not play well against Bucknell. No. But to be fair, nobody played well against Bucknell.
Here's what I'm going to say real quickly about Ntamwe. And this is just food for thought. I don't want to be a naysayer. But, Chris, they have had all season to practice together. They were together. This team was together in the offseason. They even traveled a little bit together. How does Menzies not see the ability in this kid right off the get-go? Because here's my question to you, and I want to play I did get a chance to talk to Joel and Tom Wayne. I do want to play that. But if Houston doesn't go down and Dembele doesn't go down for the season, are we seeing the minutes out of Joel and Tom Wayne? Is this guy maturing the way we're seeing him on the basketball court? Or was it that he is, in a good way, a victim of circumstance and gets more minutes because they're down? So that's coaching. How do you not see this?
Well, I think Coach answered that question last night. I think Alan Snell asked him the question.
He did.
About
juice.
About, yeah, getting, you know, going down and guys getting increased minutes. And, you know, he said that that Ntamwe was a beneficiary, as was, who was it, Hardy?
Hardy. Well, Mari Hardy, for sure.
Because you know, he moved Ntamwe, Ntamwe was what out at the wing, and now he's now inside.
Yep.
And Hardy filled in that role. But
he's a zone breaker now. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, he's the best zone breaker on this team.
You know, you really ask an interesting question, because if this kid had this ability,
how don't you see it?
That's
you're a college coach
now. To be fair,
he did bring him here.
Okay. And I know he said some really good things about him in the offseason, and maybe it was just I think as a coach, you get a feel for when a guy's ready. And maybe it was too much too soon, right? I mean, one of the things that Ntamwe said last night in the press conference, if you paid attention, was about that first conference game and how it was going to be something new for him.
Butterflies.
Right? Yeah. So that was against Colorado State, mm-hmm. that first conference game. So maybe he just wasn't ready to play yet. And, you know, it's George McPhee uses the term, the general manager of the Golden Knights. I'd rather overcook a guy than undercook a guy. And what that means is you don't want to bring a guy in before he's ready, yeah, because it'll destroy his confidence. You need to wait for the right moment. And the Illinois game appears to have been the right moment to bring Ntamwe in, because, to be honest, I'm going to throw the Bucknell game out, because that's, to me, that was a little bit of an anomaly from what we've seen.
Well, as bad as they played, to lose by double digits,
yeah,
to over 20 points to Bucknell, I'm going to say it's a fluke, too. They're not that bad. But still, Chris, it was a bad loss. And still, I think you had a number of games and you had all preseason to see and assess your talent. And again, you just wonder, and we'll never know, but if Houston doesn't go down, is Ntamwe a spot guy instead of the guy?
And we talked about it before we went on the air. Imagine Houston and Ntamwe on the floor together.
Oh my goodness, right now?
I mean, that's a formidable front court.
Well, because Houston's still the best player on this team, is picking up garbage on the glass.
Yes.
And when you've got a guy like Ntamwe that can now score, and you can free him up on the perimeter, because Houston will be underneath cleaning the garbage with Dembele, or not with Dembele, but probably what's his face?
Mbake?
Mbake, Jong, yeah. The two of them underneath, wow, you have really something strong, and instead you're leaving that all to Jong now, and it's not,
yeah,
it's not the same. But I did get a chance to talk to Joel and Ntamwe, and I was really impressed. The kid's a freshman, and I just wanted to get his assessment, the excitement of realizing this kid is the guy, and does he realize it? Joel and Ntamwe, second conference game, seventh straight game you've scored in double figures. Explain it, man. Where did it all come from?
Actually, it just comes from the confidence from the coaches and stuff. because Coach Manzi always put me in a position to be successful and trying to help the team to get wins. So that comes from right there. It comes from confidence.
Are you feeling like, you know, you all had to pick up your play when you lose a guy like Shakur Justin? You find out Cheick Ndombele's not going to be available this season. That means everyone's got to pick it up, and the freshmen are going to play a huge role this year.
Yeah, honestly, losing Shakur, you know, Shakur was a big piece to our program and stuff in our team. Losing him was kind of hurtful, but at the end of the day, you know, he's down. So next man up. So we just got to go out there and just fight and play hard.
What is Coach saying to you, Joel? Because, you know, scoring the way you are right now, you're going to be the guy they're going to be looking to as long as that hand stays hot. Are you relishing this opportunity?
Yes, I'm ready. You know, it's just all about the Coach Manzi and the whole stuff. It's all about the strategies. If they just tell me to go out there and score, I'm going to keep on doing it. If they tell me go there, guard the best player, I'm going to go ahead and do it. It just depends on the coaches.
You guys came back from maybe a little bit of a disappointing Hawaiian trip to come back here, win against Colorado State in comeback fashion, and then you win this game now. Does it give you the confidence you need going forward? Because as you heard in the press conference, New Mexico just blew out Rio. Reno gave them their first loss. So you guys got to get fired up for that game.
Yeah, I think we're just going to go out there, honestly, and just play hard. And just trying to keep everything smooth and trying to listen to the game plan and just go ahead and execute it.
Last question for you. At halftime, you guys come out. The one thing I have noticed recently, especially the last two games, you guys are playing better in the second half. That's huge because they say that the best coaches are able to coach you out of halftime into the second half. What's Coach saying in halftime that's changing you guys and getting you guys coming out a little more fired up in the second half?
It's funny, actually, you asked that question. Coach Ole is coming. He always coming in the locker room and just changed the strategy and just told us, this is the game plan for the second half. Just go ahead. Play hard and execute everything and just get a win.
Thanks, Joel. Appreciate
you. Thank you so much, sir.
Joel and Tomboy, as I said, an impressive young man and a guy that you definitely want to pay attention to. As Chris said, I'm going to quit harping on the fans. You don't want to come, don't come. It is amazing the lack of school spirit, the lack of school pride at this university when at one time UNLV was a huge basketball brand. But I'm telling you, people, I am much more excited about telling you to come out and watch, and I think, Chris, you'll back me up with this, to watch Joel and Tomboy as I was to watch Brandon McCoy last year.
Well, you know, it's funny. You mentioned the fans because I've been harping a little bit on the students. You know,
no, the students, to me, are the biggest disappointment of all of them.
Look, fans, it's different. You got to come spend money. I get that the athletic department, for whatever reason, is forcing people to sit in the upper bowl. They should be closing that upper bowl and letting people sit down low. You know, to me, I understand you have boosters and season ticket holders, and you know what, you shouldn't displace those people, but there's no atmosphere in the Thomas and Mack. Even last night, they go on this great run in the second half, and there's no atmosphere because you have maybe a third of the lower bowl full, a third of the upper bowl. You know what, close the upper bowl until you can start getting people back in that building. Let everybody sit down low. You get the arena loud. You get fans in the building. And the students, you know, I've been going back and forth with a couple students on Twitter. Listen, this is your school. This is my school. I'm a graduate of UNLV, and I take a lot of pride in that. When I was a student there, the team wasn't very good either. It was Charlie Spoonhour, and you know what? I love Spoon. He was a great guy. He was a really good basketball coach. Guy knew a lot about the game. But the reality is, they were a mid-table conference team. A
lot more people in the Thomas and Mack, period.
I had to used to struggle to get a student ticket.
Absolutely.
Because even though the team was a borderline NIT team every year, people still took pride in the basketball program. And as a student, you get free tickets. I took a picture of someone in the student section, first row, right? There were only six students in the student section when the game started. Eight people in the second half. One of those people was sleeping. This person was sleeping.
So at least he was there.
No, I don't care. You're sleeping. You know, and someone replied back, you do know it's winter break. You know what? I'd buy that argument if this was Arizona State or if this was UCLA where you have kids from all over the country coming to congregate at your university, living on campus. This is UNLV. Reality is it's a commuter school. I don't know the percentages, but there's 25,000 undergraduate students at UNLV. My guess is probably 75, 80% of them are from the Las Vegas or Henderson area. The excuse that it's winter break is a weak argument.
Well, Chris, here's the deal. I say that I don't mind. I mind still at Sam Boyd Stadium, but it's more understandable because it's never made sense to me that you got a football stadium 7 miles off campus. I get it. But the Thomas and Mack Center is smack dab in the middle of campus.
That's right, it's in the middle
walkable.
Of the city.
Yeah, it's walkable for most of these students. And again, use it to go have camaraderie, meet other students, maybe pick up a chick.
Take a girl or on a date.
Seriously, it's free. Like you said, it's free.
And you can, and I don't know, maybe things have changed.
I had to go to the Breslin Center at Michigan State.
And maybe things have changed, but when I was a student, I used to take my now ex-wife when I was a student. I'd get a free ticket for me, and I would buy her a ticket for half price. You know, and they're lower bowl seats. I don't get it. You know, have some damn pride in your university. You're paying to go to school there.
Yeah, show up, man.
They're taking your money.
Show up.
And the reality is, it's a free ticket.
And I'll give you more
Take
reality.
It. Go. Like I said, look, I understand the fans not wanting to spend $50, okay. $75 to go watch this team. Me personally, I get that. It's you know, it's not a cheap night out, and they're trying to do things to you know, include food but I get that. But if you're a student, I watched the Binghamton game the other night. I don't even remember who the hell they played. Binghamton. State University of New York, Binghamton. SUNY Binghamton. They had more students at their damn game than UNLV does. One NCAA tournament this freaking school has, and they're drawing more students to their home games than UNLV. That's sad. I'm putting the, and you know what? I'm calling out the rebellion. I'm calling out the students. Get your ass to that arena, because you know what? These kids who are putting that jersey on, they deserve your support. Whether the team is good or not, those kids represent your school. They represent your university. They're your classmates. They're your friends. Show up and support them.
I agree 100% with you. And, you know, to add to that, you're talking about the small school in upstate New York. How about the Thomas and Mack Center? A reason to go. It is a beautiful basketball facility. Still updated, in my opinion, and fits a lot of people. And on top of that.
And here's the other thing. If you're a single guy, the cheerleaders are hot.
They are hot.
The Rebel girls are hot.
My son was taking advantage of that yesterday night.
I heard.
Yeah, my son.
You know, was, I mean. So, I mean. Now, unfortunately, they sent the one that I have the hots for. She wasn't. She was gone in the second half last night.
Well, they got rid of the whole second half cheerleaders. It's like, Megs, I get a lot of this. But as you said, the part that makes no sense is the student section. I wouldn't care if the entire arena was empty and the student section was full. I would live with it, just like you said. But when you're getting free tickets and you're a college student, shame on you. And that's all I can say, shame on you.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
We are going to talk about the Golden Knights. Pretty exciting. 5 wins in a row for this team as they're barely out of first place in the Pacific Division, now right behind the Calgary Flames. We'll talk about them in a little bit. Right now, I do want to go to break. But before we go to break, on our way to break, I did get a chance after the Colorado State game to sit down for 5 minutes with Amari Hardy. The kid's from Michigan, so obviously I like him already, but honestly, what a good heady kid, and got a chance to talk to him about everything about this team after the first conference game. We'll go to break after the Hardy interview. We will come back. We've got Nightcap. Don't forget, Jim Gemma's going to come up and talk to us about the Las Vegas ballpark, and Emily Van Buskirk will be here as she gets ready up in Santa Clara to cover the national championship game between Alabama and Clemson tomorrow. And by the way, there's a little snippet she did. A good friend of hers is Joey Chestnut, the hot dog eating champion. A matter of fact, maybe the greatest competitive eater of all time. And he got a chance to go in and he talked to Dabo Sweeney, a bunch of the Clemson players, some of the Bama players. Pretty cool. We'll have all that. But first, let's start off this is Amari Hardy and me after the Colorado State game. Talking to Amari Hardy, the Mountain West Conference started tonight. How big was getting that win?
I think it was real big for us, you know, being that you start off conference 0-0, you know, be able to reset and start off with a win. I think it really helps us going towards our conference.
How about, you know, coming back from Hawaii? It started so promising with the win over Hawaii, coming off the overtime win against BYU, and then the letdowns against Indiana State, and then, of course, the one against Bucknell, a really bad loss. How do you guys put it together, get back focused, then you come back in this gym and do that tonight?
You really just got to get back in the gym, just keep working. No, it's on to the next game. You can't fix it or change it from a win. For the most part, we just got back in the gym. We kept working on the things that we knew we were bad at. And tonight, you know, we came out here. We all worked hard. We grinded. You know, we showed some toughness in the last couple minutes of the game, and we came out with a win.
You did. And Carvacho, somebody mentioned in there, the whole game he seemed to really be dominating, 28 points. But I think like the last 5 minutes of the game, you shut him out. What was said and what changed to finally shut that guy down?
I just felt like our bigs just had to take a little bit more pride in stopping him. We wanted to crack down on him, kind of keep him off the glass. And, you know, for the most part, you know, it's the last 5 minutes of the game, so it's winning time for pretty much. So we all just wanted to lock down and try to get the win for us, and we did.
You find out you lose Shakur Justin for the season, now check the Dembele. How does it change the ideology, the philosophy of this team going forward? I know it's a next man up mentality, but those are some big losses, especially to fill the shoes of Shakur Justin.
Shakur is really, really big for us. You know, we could definitely use him this year. For the most part, we just got to keep going right now. The train keeps going, so you know the guys have to step up and play. You know, they probably wasn't expecting this opportunity, you know, for Jonathan coming into college. So here's an opportunity right now to show what he can do, and you know he's doing a great job right now.
Tell me about yourself. Now I know, you know, you've been a very unselfish guy. You've sat back, but you got your start tonight, and you made the most of it. You did a hell of a job in the game. But going forward, you want to be the guy back there when you look at the starting five. Do you want to be the guy in that list? Let's be honest, man.
Oh yeah, for sure, most definitely. You know, I've worked all my life. I put in a lot of hours in the gym. You know, I think, you know, I was very deserving of it. But, you know, I just let it come to me. I wasn't really, you know, saying I should start. Because I was really playing minutes throughout the game. So I wasn't really, really banking, you know, I should always be starting. But I always came in, you know, with a mentality that I was going to run the team and we was going to get wins when I was in, or we was going to have the pace going.
One of the things about this team that I've seen is sometimes you guys have stretches where you're not finishing.
Yeah.
You'll get to the hole and you guys are really good at getting down to the basket, but then you don't finish. What is the focus on it, practice and going forward, and even talking to each other to make sure that you guys start finishing? Because I said at one point, if you guys finished all the shots, you're up by 10. Instead, yeah, you were down by 10.
Yeah. I definitely talk to a lot of guys. It's really just a more focused thing. Maybe just a couple bumps there, but I think instead of letting yourself get bumped, maybe you go seek the contact first. I think that's where a lot of times, you know, the guys end up missing layups, or they won't gather themselves. They're getting rushed a little bit, a little sped up. But I think, you know, as we keep going down the road, I hope our guys get better. You know, we're all going to continue to get better, and we're going to continue to grow along this journey.
I want to know the last question. The fans, it's kind of disappointing. Hopefully a game like this will get them riled up. And I said, I'm from Michigan like you are, went to Michigan State. Even when we were lousy, the stands were full. You couldn't get a seat at Breslin Arena, and then before that, Jenison Fieldhouse. What do you say to the fans out there that this team's going to show them that they should start getting their, for lack of a better term, asses in the seats here at the Thomas and Mack Center?
We definitely want to have this place filled. You know, that'd be great sight to see. I think it'll come as we continue to play hard, continue to get wins, and you know, more than likely, you know, we have fans rolling in, and I just want to say thank you to the fans that actually came out tonight to support us, and you know, we're going to continue to put on the show that we can do, and continue to get wins throughout the season and play hard.
I lied, one more question. Marvin Menzies, obviously this is a big season for him, a lot of expectations. They're saying, hey, you know, the guy could lose his job at the end of this year. No one wants to talk about it, but that's reality, man. What do you feel about Coach? What is he to you, and what can he do to turn this program around and get you guys winning on a consistent basis?
They say pressure busts pipes, but pressure also creates diamonds. So, you know, he's been there. From day one, he's grinding, and, you know, he's in there. He's working on the guys, talking to guys, pulling guys into film. You know, he's showing real dedication this year, and I think he's been committed more than ever right now. You know, he's locked in, and he's getting the guys ready to go. He's always amped up. I've never seen him come today to work. You know, for him, down or, you know, he's always got that drive to him, and I think, you know, that's one thing that probably might separate him from a lot of coaches in this game right now.
Hey, Mari, good luck, and keep starting, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Picked up by Adam Henrique. Lost it to Tuck. Sneaks it ahead. 2-on-0. Stastny right side. One man back. Feet in front. They score! Welcome back, Max Pacioretty. Stastny to Pacioretty to give the Knights a 3-2 lead.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Yeah, Chris, the Vegas Golden Knights have won five straight right now and are playing exceptionally good hockey, something we both learned this morning thanks to David Shane publishing it in the Review Journal today. If you haven't read the article yet, it says, for Knights, third's a charm. What that means is in those five wins, they have outscored their opponents in the third period 8-0. That is gigantic. Closing is the key to all sports. It's how you close, because closing is winning time, and the Knights are winning in winning time. That's monstrous.
Well, yeah, and in those five games also, they've only allowed five goals, and they played some pretty good teams in there, Colorado being one.
Anaheim.
Anaheim, another one. So you know, a couple playoff teams in there. Granted, two wins against the Kings, and you know, you could say, oh, well, the Kings stink, but hey, the Kings did beat them.
The Kings get fired up to play
the Kings did beat them the first two times they played, so the Golden Knights have corrected that. We saw the shutout by Marc-Andre Fleury last weekend against the Kings. What was it, New Year's Day was a shutout. So, you know, they're playing the Devils today. I do think they will win today. I did grow up a Devils fan, so I do follow the team a little bit, and they're not very good this year, so... you know, it's one of those things where this team is really playing well, as David Shane mentioned, third period. But I think they're playing really good. The second period against Anaheim, they kind of...
A little suspect. They went to sleep a little
bit. But they bounced back.
Yep.
You know, they gave up the two quick goals. I think it was in 18 seconds.
And they turned around and did the favor.
And then they scored two goals in 30 seconds.
Gotta love it.
And John Gibson, who a lot of people say is the best goalie in the NHL, he's one, and I believe, five or one in six against the Golden Knights. His career, yeah, 1-6 because he's lost three times this year, and he lost three times last year, so he's 1-6 in his career.
Crazy, isn't it?
You know, the Golden Knights are finding ways to beat this guy, and, you know, you watch...
I bet there's no other team in the league, Chris, that has that kind of winning percentage against Jonathan Quick.
And Jonathan Gibson.
Oh, Jonathan Gibson, I'm
Quick
sorry.
Is in it. Well, they kind of own Quick, too. Yeah.
They own him, too.
But, you know, the funny thing about the Kings game is Jack Campbell, who was a Kings goalie on New Year's Day, guy played out of his mind. But a lot like Gibson, he didn't get any help from the guys ahead of him. Anaheim, they have some good young players, but they're still, I think, a little bit away from contending. This is a team right now the Golden Knights own. 3-0 against the Ducks this year. You know, it's interesting, though, because today in New Jersey, this was a team they played about 2 weeks ago before Christmas. I guess it was about 3 weeks ago.
Flat as can be.
Well, they came out and they were up 3-0 in the first period.
Went flat.
And then they went flat the rest of the game, and they ended up losing the game in overtime 5-4.
Yep.
So I don't think it's in their mind, at least from the guys I've spoken to about it. In fact, one of them said to me, I didn't even think about it until you brought it up. So obviously, you know, for at least they'll tell you it's not in their mind. I'm guessing it's in their mind.
Oh, it's always in their mind.
That they blew a 3-goal lead to this team.
Yes.
And now they have and let's not forget, New Jersey came in here and was the only team last year that came in here and blew the doors off the Golden Knights and T-Mobile. I think that's going to be in some people's minds as well. Hey, you know what? These guys came in here last year and they blew the doors off of us. I think we've got to take care of them. Them and Ottawa were really the only teams that came in here and had their way with the Golden Knights. This year, I think, unfortunately for the Devils, I think they're going to get a little retribution tonight.
Well, fortunately for the Knights. I would agree with you. I just don't want them to have a letdown. This is a perfect scenario coming off of a five-game winning streak, confidence flying high. You look at the Devils' record and you think this is a guaranteed 2 points. I thought that against Montreal a couple weeks back, Chris, and it turned out to be a different story.
And that was, you know, again, for some of the guys I spoke to, that was a motivating factor. The fact that they blew both of those games against, I mean, think about it. They got 2 points.
Back-to-back blown games against Montreal and then the L.A. Kings, and that shouldn't happen.
And they gave up 2 points in that game, even though they got a point
because they
went to overtime. They didn't look at it as we got a point. They look at it as we blew those games.
It's a loss.
So, I mean, there's three games. Think about it. Since Nate Schmidt's come back, I think they're 17-4-3 since Nate Schmidt's come back. Three of those losses in overtime, they were winning. So in theory, they could be 20-4.
Yeah.
Since Nate Schmidt's come back. How much does that guy mean to the team?
He's huge. He's huge.
I think we're seeing right now how much Nate Schmidt means to the Golden Knights.
No question. The guy is absolutely huge. And I will say, though, that, you know, of course they're going to say they're not thinking about the last time that they played the Devils, because you're supposed to always claim in sports the politically correct thing. We're looking ahead, we're not looking behind us. Short-term memories, blah, blah, blah. Believe me, they're upset about this. And the last thing I want to say, what was really nice to see, the game winner, which you guys just heard Friday night when they were in Anaheim, the pass from Stastny to Pacioretty was kind of a return. Cool, because Pacioretty hasn't played since mid-December. And if you remember in that last game, Pacioretty hit Stastny. And so it was kind of like almost the exact same thing. It was returning the favor. But my point is, I really like these two guys playing together. There seems to be great chemistry. And I was going to talk more about it. We'll talk about it again. I've been asked by a lot of people, wow, Brandon Perry was playing so good. How did he get reassigned to Chicago People? This shouldn't be a surprise to you. Yes, he was playing some of the best hockey of his career as far as two-way hockey when he was up here, because he's never been known as a two-way player. We've talked about it for a long time. He's a guy that finds the back of the net, and that there is definitely value to that. When he came up, we were seeing him play the best two-way hockey of his career, but Gerard Gallant's got to look at this. Are you going to play Brandon Perry? You're really going to keep him on your roster above Max Pacioretty? You're out of your mind. Stastny, no way.
Well,
so he's the odd man out. It's an unfortunate thing, but it is a nice commodity to have sitting there in Chicago, to clear waivers, to get him to have him in Chicago, and have a guy that's going to be sitting there that they can bring up when they need an offensive spark, and he's that kind of guy.
And the other thing is, if you watch the games really closely, Brandon Perry wasn't playing with the Golden Knights up one goal late in the third period. Now, he was kind of forced to play on the power play against
the
Kings on the second power play against the Kings on January 1st.
Yep.
The other thing to make note of here is George McPhee had to make a decision. Brandon Perry was the easiest guy to move down to Chicago because there was a guarantee they were not going to lose him by moving him down. When Colin Miller comes off of IR, George McPhee's going to have to put somebody on waivers. I don't think anybody right now that's played for the Golden Knights this year, I don't know about Zykov, because I honestly haven't seen him play in a game, so it's hard to judge. We've seen him in practice. But him excluded, any of the guys that would potentially be placed on waivers, I don't see any of them clearing.
No, none.
So if you look at it from that regard, we are going to lose somebody. And had they not put Perry back down Chicago,
he'd be the guy they lose.
There was a good chance they were going to lose two people.
I agree with you 100%. Listen, we got to take our last break here. We're going to come back. Jim Gem on the other side. We're going to squeeze in Emily Van Buskirk. And I do want to talk about the wild card games remaining that will take place about an hour after the show goes off the air. We'll go to break. We'll come back with Jim Gemma. And fact this.
Fact this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
Friday, February 3rd, 2018, there was a groundbreaking ceremony in downtown Summerlin for the new Las Vegas ballpark's future home of what was then the Las Vegas 51s and what now is the Las Vegas Aviators, AAA affiliate of the Oakland A's. This stadium that 11 months ago was a large barren lot of lucrative land is now only a few months away from hosting its first baseball game. And if you've watched the progress, it has been nothing short of spectacular, amazing, throw whatever cliche or adjective you want in there. Not a soul doubts game one will take place on schedule. Joining us on the phone, Jim Gemma, director of media relations for the Las Vegas 51s, I guess now the Las Vegas Aviators. Jimmy, how you doing, my friend?
Ryan, thanks for having me on. I think we need you there at opening night to read what you just said. That sounded great.
Well, I mean, Jim, I drive by this place, I'm going to say without exaggerating, probably once every 2 weeks. I'm up in that area. I might be going to City National Arena, something along those lines. And I am just, I mean, my friend, I'm blown away. I cannot believe how, you know, it's one thing for the architectural design, how cool it is that it's going to be one of the, if not the nicest stadium in you know, any minor league facility. It's right there with them. But how well this place has been constructed and how quickly. I mean, how do they do that, man?
Well, our ownership group, the Howard Hughes Corporation, and Hunt Penta, are the folks that are building this, and I marvel at the construction workers. There's about 300, up to 300 construction workers now on site. As they basically, this is the home stretch of completing this great venue. You know, minor league parks, you know, El Paso and Reno's, most recently El Paso's, but you can build these in like 10 to 12 months. Because of the, well, especially here because of the weather. You saw how fast T-Mobile Arena was built. But, yeah, they've done just a terrific job.
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, when you know, just, I just can't believe, like I said, a year ago right now, that was a vacant lot and nothing there. And here we are 11 months later, and you have you can look at it and you know exactly what it is now. I am just beyond impressed. And, Jimmy, real quick, because we, as typical on this show, we're running low on time. This season, I mean, you know, the expectations, I imagine a lot of people, you're going to see full ballparks, everyone, the novelty. But how cool would it be if the Heisman Trophy winner was able to work his way up the ladder and maybe middle to the end of the season made an appearance in Las Vegas? How much more excitement would that make it for all of you guys over there that are a big part of this?
Well, that would be cool. I mean, obviously the PCL is a tremendous league. Obviously we're not the major leagues, but for a long time we were the next best thing to the major leagues. Now we have the major leagues here, which is great with the other sports, but it just shows the caliber of talent that's in the Pacific Coast League. Obviously, we saw the Jacob deGroms and Noah Syndergaards play here. But, yeah, Kyler Murray, I've been told, you know, obviously he wants to play baseball. He has a $4.5 million signing bonus with the A's. You know, you see some film of him playing with Oklahoma. But, obviously, they're saying he will more than likely start in the California League, you know, Single A with Stockton, that's the A's, and then Double A's Midland. So, yeah, you know, you just never know. Hopefully he can show off his talents and they'll bring him here at some point. Hopefully sooner than later.
Well, I think, put it this way, I've said it since the day they drafted him, Kyler Murray has a lot better chance of showing up in Vegas than Tim Tebow did. I know a lot of people were excited and were hoping that when the affiliate was the New York Mets that we'd see Tim Tebow up here, but I think there's a much better chance of Kyler Murray being up here. This guy is without question a future Major League Baseball player, so at some point in time, be it this year, next year, the year after, we're going to see this guy in Las Vegas more than likely.
Yeah, I think his future's baseball. You know, you watch that game against Alabama, and he's awesome as a football player. But his size, again, they showed some clips of him playing with the Sooners with baseball. And, yeah, it's a lot different than the Tim Tebow situation. You know, hopefully Tim's going to be in Triple-A Syracuse this year with the Mets. But, yeah, this is a top prospect, a kid in his 20s. You know, he's a $4.5 million signing bonus, kind of speaks for itself.
No question about it. He is Jim Gemma, Media Relations Director for the newly named Las Vegas Aviators. If you haven't gotten out there to check up the Las Vegas ballpark, please drive down. It is in downtown Summerlin. You can't miss it. It's awesome. Right next to City Center Arena. Jim, we appreciate you joining the show. As always, we'll have you on again soon.
I appreciate it. Yeah, and also there's a construction cam on our website to watch the daily progress. It's really cool.
Absolutely. Now, the website, what is it now? Is it still 51's website, or have you changed it?
Well, LV51.com will redirect you now to AviatorsLV.com.
AviatorsLV.com. Jim Gemma, appreciate you. Talk to you soon, my friend.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Okay, we're going to switch gears right now. We'll do a national championship game tomorrow night. For the last four seasons, you have gotten a chance to see Alabama play Clemson in the college football playoffs. Three of the four of them have been for a national championship. They're 1-1 against each other, but when it comes to the national championship, Clemson has covered every time they've played each other. A lot of people expect that to happen again. Alabama favored by 6 points. Emily Van Buskirk from Northern California has the credentials in Santa Clara to go to the championship game. She was at the Cotton Bowl, walked around with Joey Chestnut. And before I put Emily on, Mags, go ahead and play this clip. I want to make sure to get it in. She walked around with Joey Chestnut. There's many great clips that I heard, but this is the one with Dabo Swinney. It really made me laugh. Dabo Swinney was more excited to talk to Joey Chestnut than Joey Chestnut was to talk to Dabo Swinney. Check it out.
We've been walking around talking to a couple of your players about their favorite foods. We have Joey Chestnut, the World Hot Dogging Champion here.
Joey Chestnut?
Yeah.
I see you like every July when there's like nothing on TV but the hot dog eating thing.
Yeah.
And I know exactly who you are.
He wanted to ask you some questions about
it. Right. Yeah, everybody knows you love South Carolina barbecue. When you get home, is there going to be a celebration place that you, what's your favorite place to go to?
Well, Smoking Pig.
Smoking Pig?
Yeah, Smoking Pig. Okay. Yeah, you going to ask me how I like my hot dog?
How do you like your hot dog?
Chili dog, mustard only.
Mustard only, that's the only way. I brought onions and mustard.
This is Joey Chapman. I know exactly who you are.
We've been asking all the players, you know, if there's a single food that they could put down the same way Joey puts down hot dogs, what would it be? So for you, what would that food be?
Pizza.
Pizza. How many slices do you think you could put away?
Man, I don't know. Maybe three. I have to stack them up, kind of push them down.
He's put away 80, so.
What? Competition. They made me do it.
But I don't know how y'all do that. Do you just, like, go and puke for, like, a week?
Dude, so I'm doing interviews for, like, an hour and a half afterwards, so it's all settled so deep. All I want to do is go to sleep. I'm drunk on food by the time it's over.
And you're pretty skinny.
I have to run. I hate running. But I diet. But, dude, everybody's, it's going to be a great game on Monday.
Yeah. Well, congrats. We're excited. Great to meet you.
Thank you.
Joey Chestnut talking to Dabo Sweeney. How cool was that? Had to be a lot of fun walking around on media day with Joey Chestnut.
It was an incredible experience. We had his Nathan's Hot Dog Championship mustard yellow belt with us, and the players from both teams got to try it on and talk to Joey and ask him questions, and he got to ask them and share secrets about food and how they eat and what their favorite thing to cook is. So it was an incredible, you know, once-in-a-lifetime experience to see someone like him interact to, you know, guys at the top of their fields in both of their industries. So it was really neat.
Well, it was really cool. I don't think he even realizes how famous he is. I mean, the kids that are college athletes know him. You know, you would think maybe it's a little bit older generation, but no, every generation, because it is a really cool thing that he does. And like I said, Joey Chestnut is probably the most famous and probably the greatest competitive eater in the history of that sport, if you want to call it a sport. He has done it all. I mean, I remember when I first started watching it, this great Kobayashi was going to be untouchable, and Joey Chestnut absolutely blew him out of the water. So really cool stuff. But, Em, we are so limited on time. I want your thoughts on this game and what you think is going to happen. Clemson is covered every time. The listeners out there, should they be betting Clemson and taking the points?
And you'll get to see the video of this later where Joey makes his pick, but honestly, the biggest thing we took away from Media Day is how loose Clemson was. I mean, they were upbeat, happy, the guys looked really loose, whereas Alabama during their time was very tight and very quiet and very non-Alabama-like. So that gave us all a feeling that Clemson was here to have fun and to win a national title. So I'm going with Clemson.
You know what? I think it's a decent money line bet. I can't believe I'm saying that. Although preparing to play Alabama is a lot different than preparing to play Notre Dame. Two very different caliber teams. And the thing is I think the X factor is obviously Clemson's quarterback. He is, you know, I think this guy is an NFL, future NFL player, no question about it, with the arm strength. I'm going to take Clemson and take the points. I really will. I think Alabama's going to beat him in a nail biter. Emily Van Busker, Gard Barker, lead college football basketball writer. We appreciate you. Got to run.
All right, see you guys later.
Thanks, Emma. I want to also thank Jim Gemma. Thanks, Magnum. Two games today starting in an hour, man. Check them out. The Bears are playing at home against the Eagles, and you got a big game going on also in the AFC as well. Got to run. Out of line here every Sunday morning, 8 to 9, Fox Sports Radio. Thank you all. We'll see you next week.